in this kind of a breakdown. Verses 8 through 10, I want you to listen for a promise, okay? Verses 11 through 13, I want you to listen out for the reality. In verses 14 through 16, I want you to listen out for the way. And so I've entitled the message today, A Better Way of Walking with God, but I want to add a word there to the title. And in place of the word with, I like the word with, I want to keep that, but I want to add to it this word. You can maybe scratch a line through with, or maybe put a slash that allows you to add a word to it to add meaning. That really what I want to share with you today is a better way of walking to God. And some of us feel like that we can't walk to God. We've got too much of ourselves in the way. We've got too much baggage with us that we carry with us. We've got too much of a past that is just still speaks too loudly for us to really feel like we can walk to God. And what I want us to hear today is that because of Jesus Christ, He gives us a better way of walking to God. The old didn't do it. There's nothing wrong with the old. It's good. But the new is better. And Jesus gives us that new way. So verses 8 through 10, the promise. Verses 11 through 13, the reality. And then verses 14 through 16, the way. And this is just my reading. It's kind of the lens that I've read the scriptures through. And so I offer it to you. It may not mean anything as much to you as it did to me. But perhaps it will help us to hear the scriptures in a way today. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 8. If Joshua had really given the people rest, and it's talking about that old ancient Hebrew people, the ones that Moses had led out of Egypt, okay, that people. If Joshua had really given the people rest, there would not be any need for God to talk about another day of rest. But God has promised us a Sabbath when we will rest, even though it has not yet come. On that day, God's people will rest from their work, just as God has rested from His work. Verse 11. We should do our best to enter the place of rest, so none of us will disobey and miss going there as they did, that old ancient people. God's word is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. His word can cut through our spirits and souls and through our joints and marrow until it discovers the desires and thoughts of our hearts. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees through everything, and we will have to tell Him the truth. Verse 14. We have a great high priest who has gone into heaven, and he is Jesus, the Son of God. This is why we must hold on to what we have said about him. Jesus understands every weakness of ours because he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, but he did not sin. So whenever we are in need, we should come bravely before the throne of our merciful God. There, we will be treated with undeserved grace, and we will find help. Praise the Lord. Verses 8 through 10, it's the promise. The promise. And what is this promise? It is the promise for a better way of resting, a better way of resting. There was a kind of rest that was promised by Joshua, the leader of that old Hebrew people who had been led by Moses. It was a kind of Sabbath, a period of rest after work. You know, the Ten Commandments tells us to keep the Sabbath holy. So it's there. There was that way of keeping Sabbath, a period of rest after work. The rest would have been welcomed by that old people. Why do I say that? Well, because they had journeyed through a desert. They had battled in war. They had worked the land. They had kept the law. And they had experienced the exhaustion of failing to keep the law. So I imagine that they welcomed this idea of rest. It's just that for them, as it is for us, rest becomes ours to do with it what we please. Rest in our hands isn't really rest at all. I don't know about your kind of rest, but when I try to rest, I find that my rest is cluttered with a mind that races through all the tasks that I should be doing. I find that when I try to rest, there's guilt over wasted productivity. Another commandment to keep, another confession to make, another scripture to read. And our kind of rest isn't really rest at all. Even when we go on vacation, we exhaust ourselves, and then we need to rest from our vacation. But God's rest is different. God's rest is different. It's a better way. And His rest, it says, is coming. It's not here quite yet. And that seems to be the way it is with all of God's good things. They're not yet fully experienced or actualized. They haven't yet fully arrived. And that's also the way it is with rest. It's not quite here. Verse 10 says this, on that day, God's people will rest from their work, just as God rested from His work. That day of rest, I want to say it this way. That day of rest will be the day when we stop working for God's favor and start resting in God's favor. The kind of rest God gives us is that place where we can be before God as our honest selves. It's not about what we do for God. It's about us being ourselves before God. God's rest is the place where we are not working for His favor. God's rest is the place where we are not believing the right things, so we'll have His favor. God's rest is not the place. God's rest is the place where we are not working to save the world so that they can have God's favor. God's rest comes when we are before God as our honest selves, and we receive. We don't earn. We receive God's grace. So, the better promise of rest, there's a better way of resting. God's better way of resting. The next, though, is the reality of a better kind of honesty. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that word honesty, I get a little bit uncomfortable because I don't always feel comfortable being honest with everybody. There's some people I'm okay with, but it opens up a degree of vulnerability about myself that I'm not always comfortable with. So honesty is a... It sounds like it ought to be a good thing, but then when it's actually lived out, it kind of gets a little bit messy, maybe. But there is a better kind of honesty that I think we can see here. These verses speak of a double-edged sword. Now, we think that double-edged sword is God's truth cutting at sin, cutting in at our sin. But what that double-edged sword is it is God's words speaking to us. It's God's word in conversation with us. And the reality is, when we are in conversation with God, He cuts right through everything. Every lie that's there, every excuse that we hide behind, all the baloney that we substitute as a monologue about God rather than a conversation with God. And that double-edged sword is God getting down deep into us so that He can converse with us at a very deep level. Because I don't believe that God really enjoys superficial conversation. Who really does? And I like how verse 12 says it. God converses with us about the desires and thoughts of our hearts. He gets down deep into us, not to slash away the sin, but so that His words can begin a conversation with us about what is down deep in us. And sometimes I think that we do not know what is down in us. And maybe the life of the adult is trying to discover, what is it that is in me? And God's words help to get down deep into our hearts and souls and thoughts. We don't always know how to get to that deeper level with God. Sometimes our prayers just seem superficial. But His way, His better way, is the better way of honesty. And what is that honesty where we can't be hidden from God? Honesty, where the reality of us is in a way kind of spilt before God. That kind of honesty. Now that's too vulnerable for some of us. There are things hidden in us that we even refuse to utter to God. If I were to utter that to God, if myself, the reality of me, was spilt out before Him, I know He'd slash me to pieces. I'm not sure that God would really approve of me. Remember, though, Hebrews is a bridge to the better way of Jesus Christ. And there is a better walk with Christ. Verse 14 through 16 says this about that better walk to God. We have a great high priest who has gone into heaven, and He is Jesus, the Son of God. This is why we must hold on to what we have said about Him. Jesus understands every weakness of ours because He was tempted in every way that we are, but He did not sin. So whenever we are in need, we should go bravely before the throne of our merciful God. There we will be treated with undeserved grace, and we will find help. There it is. There is that better way. Walking with Jesus to the merciful Father. And with the merciful Father, we are treated with undeserved grace. You cannot earn it. You can't explain it. Sometimes you can't describe it to other people. It is not meant to be that. It is meant to be received. That's the way God's grace is. It's not something where you receive something good, oh, but then you've got to pay back that goodness. It's like a friend buying you something, and then you feeling obligated then to buy that friend something in return. It's not about giving and receiving as much as it is this. God's grace can only be received. This better way, walking with Jesus to the merciful Father, is where we are treated, where we are treated. God treats us with undeserved grace. And when we are led to the merciful Father on that walk with Jesus, we receive not only undeserved grace, but we receive undeserved help. Undeserved help. You cannot work yourself there. And hiding from God, it will not get you there. So stop hiding and stop working. Jesus walks us there. From the old to the new, across this bridge, it leads to the better way. Jesus walks us there to the merciful God who welcomes us and who welcomes us into the most honest conversation you've ever had. Not one where you're left depleted and naked and vulnerable, but one where you step into a room full of grace, undeserved, and one where you walk into undeserved help for the asking. Jesus walks us there. You see, maybe that's what it means to be Christian. Not a formula where we're able to plug in all the right answers and all the right moves to come out with the right result. But a walk with Jesus and Him leading us to the Father, where we receive the best things we could ever hope for from the God who made you, and from the God who loves you. Now, I can rest in that. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word broken this morning. May it feed our souls and our hearts today. May the light of your word, even you, Lord Jesus, be the guide of our lives, leading us on this walk to a place of rest, of grace, and of help. And might we receive that today with open hands, open arms, and open hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together.